Welcome to Cathedral Square, hosted by Father Christopher Smith, Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. For the next half hour, you'll have an opportunity to find out about some of the history, little-known facts, and the upcoming events at the beautiful campus on the corner of Chapman and Lewis, or as we like to say, at the intersection of faith and reason.
Welcome to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. On Cathedral Square, we talk about all things Christ Cathedral. We talk about the different activities we've had on the campus. We talk about the development of the campus. And as I am beginning our program today, I'm thinking about all of the ways we've come so far since the Diocese of Orange acquired the campus in 2012. We've come from developing the property, renovating the buildings, programming the spaces, having so many events and activities. We carry on so many ministries here on the campus, both through Christ Cathedral Parish and the Diocese of Orange. And then last July, we had the wonderful honor of being able to dedicate our beautiful Christ Cathedral. And today's guest is very special because this person has had a very, very important role in the development of the Christ Cathedral campus over these years. And so I would like to welcome our guest today, Kimberly Binquist, who is the senior property manager here at Christ Cathedral. Kim, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Kim, as we begin, I would just like you to tell our listeners a little bit about the scope of your responsibilities here at Christ Cathedral as the senior property manager.
Great. I handle operations and hospitality for the campus, all things that are logistically for the campus through construction to the day-to-day operations and events like the Sistine Chapel exhibit, all things hospitality. So I oversee all of those aspects for the campus.
And currently, in your role of hosting, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on because our campus activities are very limited now with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. However, to give us a context of your work here, maybe you could give us a little sense of your background in working in this area.
Sure. I started in property management about 22 years ago. Originally was not the field that I intended to be in, and God just led me that direction. And I absolutely love it. I love dealing with people and vendors and taking care of things for people. So I started out as a coordinator and worked my way up to overseeing and managing usually office buildings. And then I veered into campuses, and it's kind of become my specialty. And prior to being on Christ Cathedral campus, I managed two very large campuses in Irvine. But the campus aspect is kind of different from a regular office building in that there's just so many different things happening between buildings and common areas and vendors. And it's something that I've really grown to love and enjoy, and establishing relationships with people.
Well, I remember when we first started here on the campus, the acquisition of the Christ Cathedral, what is now the Christ Cathedral campus, formerly the Crystal Cathedral campus. This is one of the largest properties that the diocese has ever owned, let alone managed. I think, you know, our bigger ones were the former pastoral center, which we called Marywood, which was in Orange, yeah. And then some of our high schools and parishes. However, nothing was ever managed on the scope of this campus. Now, just to give our listeners a sense of it, here at Christ Cathedral, we have 35 acres of land. When we acquired the campus, there was over 360,000 square feet of building space, seven mm-hmm. buildings, and mm-hmm. and which you know all those statistics way better than I do, Kim.
You did pretty good.
So we really, you know, jumped into something that was, given Bishop Brown, who was the bishop at the time, and then followed up by the wonderful leader of Bishop Kevin Vann, who is our bishop now, really, I think, made a courageous decision to purchase the campus and to look to see how we would there care for it and use it. Of course, always guided by God's Spirit. And when we started on this endeavor, it was very clear that we would need somebody who was a professional property manager to help with all of the different aspects of life here on the campus. And your role here, you know, has and continues to be absolutely essential, both from the professional expertise that you have and then the personal part of it. I imagine, you know, the difference between the office management and the campus management, as you put it, is largely has to do with the interaction of people. Would that be correct?
Yes, absolutely. You come in contact, especially on our campus, it's not just our tenants or our employees. There's visitors to the campus. There's the parishioners. There's people coming to interact in an event. And all of these people come on the campus for different variety of reasons. And so you come in contact with not just people who work there, but from people from all different walks of life. And so it's been awesome being able to be there and take that on and show hospitality to those coming to campus for the first time and then being able to serve those who are there every day.
Well, you bring up a very good point because the interaction of people on the campus is not only with the professionals, if you will, the people who actually are working here and maybe the vendors that you deal with. I know for me, when I walk across the campus, inevitably I see somebody or have eye contact with or even a conversation with somebody who is just coming to the campus to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we know, you and I know well, the unique location of the Christ Cathedral campus. We're here right in the heart of Orange County, and we're surrounded. I like to call it kind of a microcosm of the world because here at Christ Cathedral, we're surrounded by freeways. We're surrounded by houses and apartments and condominiums. We're also within a view of Disneyland and the Honda Center and Angel Stadium, places of entertainment. We also are literally within view of UCI Medical Center, the Juvenile Hall, Detention Center, Family Court, places of great pain and great suffering. And so we have people every single day that come on the campus who are from one of those parts of their lives, you know, the people walking their dog to somebody that, you know, we went to Disneyland and so we thought we'd come by. And again, these were the kinds of interactions that we had more commonly when everybody wasn't trying hard to stay at home. And at the same time, we still always have to be cognizant of the many, many people who come here, not only because they work here, but also because there's something going on in their lives that drew them to the campus in the first place.
Absolutely.
One of the elements of our work together has been the renovation of the campus itself. I know you have been involved with the renovation of the various buildings, and your contact with the construction managers and all has been very important and particularly significant with the actual renovation of Christ Cathedral, the building. To give us a sense of maybe, if you can, what was it like to, you know, you kind of are the bishop's person working with the construction managers and all the rest of it and keeping track of a lot of things. What was that when we were really heavily involved in the renovation aspects, what was that role like for you?
Challenging at points,
yes, sure.
But but definitely, and not tooting my own horn, but it's what I excel at. It's what I really enjoy doing, and being able to when I first got here, we had just started the windows on the outside of the cathedral, and we had that large crane, and we were changing out each one of the windows, and that was an 18-month project, and being involved in how that affects the campus and how moving, this crane that takes up all this space and the safety of the people who come here and the safety of the people working and how this is all going to work and coordinating that and then moving into the inside of the building, to be able to work with the group to create this, I mean, magnificent place for people to come and worship is great for me, and I will always have that to hold on to. But it literally is life changing. I would say it's being able to work with the contractor and the construction group, and then working with the people on campus and the parishioners, and having everybody get so excited about what's forthcoming, and to really change what was there that started this faith campus, to be able to renovate it to what the needs were for the diocese, was just such a great transformation, and to be a part of it and to see it come to fruition was awesome. I mean, it was just amazing and such a great experience for me.
Well, I think transformative is the operative word here. You know, transformative mm-hmm. is, you know, making something different. And that's surely what, you know, not only making buildings different, but making ourselves different. And
absolutely.
The challenges that were involved in this whole project have been part of that transformation. And also the whole ultimate goal of it, which is to create a space, as we like to say, worthy of the Lord. And that has been foremost to us. And I remember when we had the construction, I wish I could remember right now some of the signs that we put up for the workers, you know, you know, something, you know, like the Lord builds the house with your hands, but you have to take care of them, you know, something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah, but you have to take care of them. Yeah. I mean, that's so true, because if you think about it, we had that whole project, we literally had one first aid incident. That was all.
Was that
for
the
something
record?
Of that magnitude? Yes. The safety record was amazing on that project, and it's because people really took to heart that they were building a house for the Lord, and to take care of themselves too was a big part of that. And literally a first aid, that was it, which is amazing. I mean, that's something to say for that group.
Well, so, let's give a context of that. How many workers did we have on site at once at our peak? Over 100, wasn't it?
We almost 200 workers at one time.
Wow.
Yeah. And we had the scaffolding that went all the way up to the ceiling, and, you know, people working overhead and working below. And, I mean, just the efforts that went into being very cognizant of the safety aspect. And kudos to the contractor for really putting that as the first thing in line of making sure that everybody stayed safe as they worked to build this for us.
Yes. And Kim, did you have a sense when you were working day by day with everyone that like so many people did have a sense that we were doing this for the Lord, that this was God's work that was being done?
Absolutely. And I think for us on campus to be a part of and each step of the way, just I don't know if it was a reminder or for them it was the continued sense of this is far greater than just each of us as a person, but all of us together. So I think that working together with them from that aspect helped them, you know, get through that too.
Yeah, that sense of connection was absolutely mm-hmm. essential.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more, get a flavor of some of the kinds of events you've hosted in the past, and then what it's been like since the cathedral was actually dedicated and opened. You're listening to Cathedral Square. I'm Father Christopher Smith, rector of Christ Cathedral, your host. Welcome to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, rector of Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange. And our special guest today is Kim Binquist, who is the senior property manager here at Christ Cathedral campus. And we've been talking about Kim's role and how important it is to not only manage a campus well, but also to have good communication and interaction with the people who are part of the campus and who come to the campus. So the campus has been open for a few years now, and even before the cathedral was open, we've had a number of events here. And Kim, if we could just take a moment to talk about what are some of the kind of, give us a sense of the variety of events that we have hosted here at Christ Cathedral.
Well, when I first started, we had the 40th anniversary.
Oh, right.
The diocese, yes.
Wow.
Yes, which incorporated, we had a run of like a 5K or something on campus, and we had an area for the kids that had snow, and we had so many things going on for that event. And we really incorporated almost every bit of the campus for that event, and learned a lot as we did it. But we've done everything from we did a mass in the parking lot for the Vietnamese community to kick off the Lady of Luang Shrine. We've done a number of wedding receptions. We've had exhibits in the cultural center. We've had concerts, and then we've had, just general meetings and things in the theater. We've had productions in the theater. We've had talks about books. You name it, we've probably done it on this campus, but, they can be anywhere from hosting a meeting of 10 people to we've had thousands of people on campus all at one time for an event. We hold the KFI pop-up-on every year for Bruno's group, for the Katarina's Club. We have, so that's broadcast all over California for people to come and drop off pasta. I mean, you name it, we've had it on the campus, which is great because it's such an amazing place to hold events. And we have our chrism masses. I could go on and on and
yes.
on about the number of things that we do on campus, but it just because it lends itself to having those events on campus. And it is one of the greatest things about Bishop Brown and now Bishop Van, is having that forethought to have a place for the diocese, like a centralized location for the diocese to bring people together for the diocese and to hold events here to bring people in, whether you're bringing them in to celebrate being Catholic, or you're celebrating your wedding, or you're, celebrating the life of a loved one who has passed. I mean, we run the entire gamut of possibilities here for the campus.
Yes, it really is. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and life to the full. Well,
we are doing that for sure.
It's a reflection of life to the full, literally from yes. beginning to end to the full life
for
with
sure,
the Lord.
For
so.
Sure. And we kick it off with the dedication of the cathedral was an amazing event. And we had so many people here, but we had prepared for that. And it was really an amazing experience to be here on that day.
Well, amazing. It was, and it was, the culmination of so many years of mm-hmm. work and preparation, and then a very fine dedication committee to help, think about all the details of what needed
yes.
to go into that time.
And that's part of it as well, is the planning and the effort that goes into putting these things on and hosting them here. And part of my team helps with that too, is we want each person who comes on the campus to have an amazing experience, no matter what they're here for.
Well, that's well put. The good experience that everybody has, no matter what the reason is, whether it's a very joyful or a very
mm-hmm.
sad reason,
mm-hmm.
we want the experience to be a good one.
And yes.
I remember a couple of years ago, I was just looking at all the activity on the campus and watching people and looking at their faces and thinking, wow, how great to be part of something where so many people on a regular basis come to a place where they're happy or where their spirits are moved
mm-hmm.
or touched. And it's wonderful to get to be a part of all of that. When you mentioned about the vision of Bishops Brown and Kevin Van, a couple years ago, somebody said that having the Christ Cathedral campus is kind of like having a downtown for the Diocese of Orange.
You're right. It is.
Isn't that a great
people
image?
People can culminate here. Yeah, culminate here and celebrate. And I mean, you do. You walk across campus and you just see the joy on people's faces, whether they're coming here to pray or they're just coming to walk. It's a beautiful campus. And we really have an amazing place. Tranquil, but it's still full of life. It's one of the sad things about people not being here right now is because I'm just so used to the campus being full of life.
Yes.
And seeing people,
Yeah. And the thing is, this terrible pandemic that's going on right now, really, at least for me, and being on this gigantic campus with hardly anybody here, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next segment, but we really, we always say that the church is the people, mm-hmm. and it really is. And you really see mm-hmm. that the church is the people when the people literally can't be here together.
Yes.
And speaking of the dedication and the cathedral being open, now that the cathedral, well, when the cathedral was open, which it's not open at the moment. However, when the cathedral was actually dedicated and then we started to be open regularly for Sunday masses and all the rest of it, give us a sense of some of the new challenges or the new things that needed to be attended to once the cathedral was actually opened.
Well, the number of people that we were experiencing during the week, I was actually surprised after dedication. I had thought, we're going to get, we're going to have even more people here on the weekends for Mass. But the number of people we saw that were coming during the week, they just wanted to see the cathedral. We generally in the summer, as you know, we were getting, 3,000-4,000 people coming. But we started experiencing that right after dedication during the week. We were getting busloads of people literally coming because they wanted to see the cathedral. And the challenge of, at that point, because we still were voicing the organ, they couldn't get in. And realizing, we need to be able to set something up for our docents so that we can get people in to see the cathedral, to see, because they really just want to experience it, like see what it's all about and be able to. We worked through setting up docent tours and being able to have people come in to experience that joy of seeing it completed, but to understand the significant scope of what was done. And then on the weekends, just the number of people that were coming to Mass, which is amazing to see, because you hear, Mass attendance has dropped. Well, we didn't experience that.
No.
We had an overload of capacity and, even overflow into Arboretum and Large Gallery, because just so many people are here, and which is exciting to see, which is, why we built it, right? Bring the people.
Yes, and then the numbers of people, not just from Orange County, the Diocese of Orange, but literally from, all corners of the earth was really a wonderful thing to experience. And then I remember, it's not that long ago that we opened, but I remember, when you build a new building or renovate an old building, then you have to see how it works.
Yeah, there's that part.
There's that. In terms of the nuts and bolts of it, are a lot of what you had to take care of. It took a long time, for example, for us to be able to get the sound right. And, we're still working on it because it's a complicated building acoustically and all the rest of it. There's the things like getting the lights right and.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you have to live in it to experience the different things and to understand the things that have to be adjusted, like the sound, right? We put in these beautiful quadrifoils, which have definitely helped with the sound and the acoustics in there. But it's the technical part of it. It's getting the equipment to work with what we have the right way. It's something as simple as the door. Okay, well, the door was opening yesterday, but now it's not opening. So
yes.
Why? Trying to figure that part out. And we have a light that keeps coming on, or we have the automatic faucet down in the bathroom that just keeps putting out water for whatever reason. Little things, all different things. But it's just living in the space and growing into it and making adjustments and fixing things as they come up. And you'll always have that. Mechanical things break, and, you have to fix them, but there are some things that I was a little surprised, but we've worked it out. We've made adjustments and fixed things and had things happen. And we've had artists who've come and installed artwork, and
that's right.
You go to install the artwork and you're like, we have to figure out how we're going to do that. So, but it's been awesome. It's been really great.
Well, one of the, challenges, is to, and especially when it's a church and then especially when it's a cathedral, is to make sure that it's functional to what you wanted it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, will the traffic patterns of people going up and down the aisles and, in coming in to receive Holy Communion, and how, where do, from which door do we start, especially in the cathedral with the different entrances? Where do we start our processions, and does it functionally work? And I think after this, the months that we were in the cathedral with people in it, I think it was functioning very, very well that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had to, I mean, we did. We had to learn how to live in the space. So how do we get people in effectively so they can get in and be able to sit down for the start of Mass? And how do we, you know, how do we do this? And, you know, what about, where are we going to put up the bulletins? And, you know, I mean, little thing, like, you know, the bulletins. We created this spot for the bulletins, and then we got to figure out something else. So, you know, it's just little things like that. And then the sacristans being able to get in there, and the ushers, and everybody learning to live in the space, and where are we going to put this, and how are we going to do that? And but living in it now, we've worked it out. We've figured out how to make it function and make it work to what we need it to. And it's set up actually really well. So, and as people learn it and come in, they just automatically know where to go and what to do. And so it's worked out brilliantly.
Yes, I'm very happy with that. And we were just humming along, and then came the close, the order to close the cathedral. Bishop Van Wisely followed the mandate of the governor of California. We closed all of our churches to public worship, which created a whole new set of challenges for us on so many levels. And so when we come back, we're going to take a break. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I'd like to talk about, if you will, life at Christ Cathedral now in the pandemic, and then what we are doing to prepare for the reopening, because we have some major challenges ahead of us, and we have to and are already thinking about how we're going to face those, because we want our campus again to continue to be a wonderful place where people experience the Lord. So I'm looking forward to an interesting conversation when we come back. I'm Father Christopher Smith, host of Cathedral Square. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, Rector of Christ Cathedral. As we begin this part of our program, I would just like you to know that the last part of our program is going to be a special segment. It will be a segment recorded live from Christ Cathedral. It will feature a homily that I gave in the cathedral, and we will also have some beautiful music that was actually recorded in the cathedral. So that promises to be a very special way to have the final segment of our program. Today, we are talking to Kim Binquist, who is the Senior Property Manager here at Christ Cathedral. And we've been discussing the development of the campus, the role that Kim has had as Senior Property Manager, and all kinds of interesting elements of what it takes to really operate a campus of the magnitude of Christ Cathedral, and also to host events. Well, as everyone knows, all of that has been dramatically changed because of the coronavirus pandemic, and has affected all of us very deeply, and personally in terms of our own lives and what we've had to do, and perhaps people that we know with the virus, people perhaps who have succumbed to it. So we're living in very challenging times. And as I mentioned earlier, Bishop Van mandated in March that all of the churches in the diocese be closed to public masses. That has created a huge number of challenges, not only for us on the campus, but also for all of the people who can't come to Mass now, who can't receive the sacraments and all those practices that Catholics are very accustomed to and that are important for our spiritual growth. So what I'd like to focus on for a little while here is, Kim, how has your focus shifted, you know, since the pandemic and the closing of the campus?
Yeah, so it's heartbreaking. I love having people on campus. I love seeing the faces. I'm sure it's just as challenging for those who can't be there. We kind of had to break it down once we started having you know, people have to stay at home and stay at home for work, stay at home, no events, being able to do live stream masses, thankfully, but not being able to attend mass. From our perspective, we started looking at it for the diocese, honestly, on a being a good steward cash flow basis, like how can we help during this time to try and help resolve any additional things that aren't necessary. So we went through right after most people were staying at home to work and to watch live masses. We went through and cleaned every building and disinfected each building. That was the start of what we were doing. And then we evaluated each building and the campus as a whole, but we evaluated each building of what the needs were in that building. Mm. So, for example, like the cultural center, you know, events were being canceled. We didn't have any events going on. The gift shop closed. We closed the Sistine Chapel exhibit. So the building is technically not being used. So we went through, disinfected the entire building, and then basically closed it, meaning we turned off all the lights. We shut down the air conditioning to it as it's not needed and basically closed that building. That does save money for the diocese as a whole, but it's also ready for when we eventually are able to use it, it's ready for us to come back to it. We did the same thing for each building on campus. Then we went through and we contacted each of our service providers to say, hey, here's where we are. We're in partnership with you for our campus because most of our service providers, actually almost all of our service providers, love working for Christ Cathedral. So we said, hey, what can we do? There's still areas where we have to take care of things, but what can we do together to reduce what we're doing? So we've worked with all of our service providers to reduce scope to either they're working with us and doing, services in kind for basically on a donation level. We have several service providers who are still continuing the same scope, but at a reduced rate for us. Because they want to make sure that things are taken care of on campus. It's a testament to our service providers on campus that they love being there so much that they still want to maintain for us, but they understand, and so they're working at a reduced amount to help us, which is awesome. So we are doing that, and then the live streaming part of it. So each day when we have, after the live streaming, we have the cleaning people who come through and re-clean to keep it safe for the next mass we have to do and for eventually when people come back in. I mean, we want to make sure that this is a place where, you know, people can come back in safely. And our team, which I honestly had a team of, you know, almost 45 people, and we're down to 5.
Wow.
And so we, as the 5, are taking care of the campus and trying to maintain. We're also maintaining our social distancing, wearing masks when we go into the building, our gloves, that ourselves. And that's a change for us too. And it's been a little bit of a challenge to get used to, but we've done it. And because it's not just us, it's the other people who we come in contact with, our vendors or people dropping off donations to the parish or whatnot. So we want to make sure that we're keeping everybody safe and looking forward to having people back because I miss having people on campus.
Well, I want to commend your team, your very minimal team now,
yeah.
For this, the hard work that you do and in your normal kind of responsibilities. And also, I know you and your team have pitched in and helped us in our food distribution, you know,
yes.
On Thursdays. And of course, as you know, and others can imagine, the volume of that has increased dramatically during this time. And we couldn't maintain the level of that food distribution and managing it properly without the help of your team. And I'm just so grateful to you and your team for stepping up and helping us out in those ways. And
that's what we do. That's what we want to do. And I know that a lot of your volunteers are of an age that they need to be very careful. And we knew that, we saw that. And so we're here to help. And so we really enjoy actually working with them. And fortunately and unfortunately, we've got to know a lot of people, but to see the numbers that have increased over the last 6 weeks, it's heart-wrenching, but at the same time, the fact that this outreach program on this campus has been able to continue to be open for the needs of those people and to be able to give food to the people who need it, it's great for us, and we really have come to enjoy every Thursday when we help out, and then we've actually been helping out on the Saturday, the once-a-month Saturdays, too, because we just like being around the people and want to be able to help, so... It's good for our campus to be able to outreach to the community and to let them know that we're here to help them, and we love them and we understand, and we'll hopefully do this together and be able to come back and continue.
Yes, well, again, it's a tremendous service that you're providing to help that important ministry continue. Mm-hmm. Now, by God's grace, one of these days we will reopen. And we know that we're not going to be reopening and everything's going to be exactly like it was. There's a lot of things that are going
unfortunately,
to be.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to be different, at least for a while and maybe for a long time, so that we can maintain the social distancing and have the disinfecting going on and crowd controls limits of numbers of people and that sort of thing. Kim, maybe you could give us some sense of some of the things that you've already done and maybe are in the process of doing in order to facilitate the reopening of the cathedral.
Right. So we've been working with the bishop's office and the Episcopal Council and trying to establish some processes and protocols of what it's going to look like when we start bringing people back to campus, and to really make sure that we maintain things that are safe for the people coming as well as the ones who are here that are providing services. So we are putting together processes for our staff to say, here's what we need to do. And then also reaching out again to our service providers to say, hey, here's where we need you. So we've reached out to our security staff to help us with what it looks like from their end for helping us with social distancing and being able to, allow, once we're able to allow people back in and guide people. And then also our janitorial crew, our staff in particular. I mean, just the different ways that it's going to look and to help people get through coming back and to know that we are doing things and put things in place for their safety and the safety of those around them, and how that's going to look going forward and how we keep these things in place, and maybe we can hopefully in the future like loosen up on some of them, but it's all, all depending. We want to do what's best for the safety of everybody. So I'm working through that right now, and we've got a lot of great people working on it and coming up with some good solutions for the campus as a whole. So I'm just looking forward to having things coming back and having people on campus. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, I know one of the things I know the bishop has asked for is all of us churches in the Diocese of Orange to begin seeing how many people we can accommodate in our church buildings, observing the social distancing norms. And I know your team has already gone through Christ Cathedral and the Arboretum, another major space, and you've put tape on the pews.
I know. We did. We literally went with a tape measure and measured out what it would look like social distancing in each of the building and to put those numbers together so that we better understand how we can effectively bring people back in. We have an amazingly large building, which is great. And so at the point that we're able to say, you can come back, and as long as you're social distancing, we can bring a large number of people back. And what that looks like, we're still working through that, because maybe it means that we increase the number of masses. Maybe it means that, however we work it out, that some people can still live stream. We can still live stream it, and some people get to stay home, but some people come in. Everybody's going to want to come in. So, but what that looks like and being able to accommodate that. So, and communicating that to the community as well, to say, hey, here's what we're going to be able to do. And partner with our parishioners too, to have them understand what we're trying to do for them.
Absolutely. And again, life will be very different once we do reopen for all those reasons that you talk about. And so the good preparation that's going on now is really important.
Kim, I
want to tell you how grateful I am that you have been able to join us today. and also for all your good work here at the Christ Cathedral campus. You are a vital part of our mission here, and thank you so much for taking your time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, and our final segment today will be a special one. Recorded live from the cathedral, it will be a homily that I gave on a Sunday, and also we will feature some beautiful music from the cathedral. So please stay tuned as we have a lovely spiritual conclusion to our program today, and thank you so much for being with us.
You're listening to Cathedral Square. Thanks for tuning in today. As we come in for the final segment, we'll hear what Father Christopher had to share this past Palm Sunday at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We'll also enjoy just a small sample of some of the glorious music we heard on the Facebook live stream that morning. Once again, Father Christopher Smith.
Today, we begin Holy Week. This week, we call to mind the unconditional love of Jesus, who gave his very life for us. This week, we commemorate the holy events that led to our salvation. This week, we set our sights on Easter Sunday, so eager to celebrate the victory of Jesus over sin and death. In the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, one might ask, how can this week ahead possibly be holy? In the midst of the suffering, the fear, the confusion, the death, the isolation that this crisis has caused. It's good for us to remember that the circumstances of any events in time and history do not dictate whether we observe the redeeming actions of our God's steadfast love. So we don't cancel Advent, we don't cancel Christmas, we don't cancel Lent or Easter or Pentecost because of wars or natural disasters or acts of violence or terrible illnesses. However, these kinds of events do indeed disrupt the normal order of doing things. At such times as we are in right now, and when there are circumstances of great tragedy and pain in the world, we are called sometimes to adjust the regular way that we make the observances of our God's steadfast love for us. You know, usually on Palm Sunday, my whole homily is about coming to church during Holy Week. This Holy Week, you are being asked to stay at home. The beautiful blessing of the palms that we had at the beginning of our liturgy today was just that, a blessing of the palms. And the distribution of those palms will just have to wait until a later time. Absent will be the public celebration of the beautiful Chrism Mass, the inspiring Mass of the Lord's Supper, the poignant celebration and observance of our Lord's Passion on Good Friday, the great Easter Vigil, and the baptisms and Eucharist for the first time for people, and confirmation, all of that will not be celebrated at the vigil this year. And those who were preparing will have to wait until a later time. And of course, the magnificent celebration of Easter Sunday will not be available by way of our public celebrations. We priests will celebrate these liturgies without our beloved people present, as we have during these many weeks. And I want to tell you, we miss you. We miss you so much.
The faithful who have such access will view these sacred liturgies from the pews of their living room sofas and chairs. And those who cannot connect through the internet will be left to imagining these sacred rituals which so many look forward to celebrating this week. You know, we need this Holy Week. We need this Holy Week perhaps now more than ever. And so during these days, let's go to church in our hearts. Let's take with us family, friends, doctors, nurses, patients with the virus, families who are mourning those who have died. Let's take with us in our hearts those who are hungry and without homes. Let's go to church in our hearts and take many, many people with us. This week, let's pray more than ever. Let's pray perhaps the rosary in our households. You know, in my family, when we gather for special holidays or occasions, before we have our meal, we gather in a big circle, we hold hands, and we pray. And everybody's invited to say what they want to pray for or who they want to pray for. Well, this year, of course, our family won't be gathering in that circle of prayer on Easter. However, I invite my family, and I invite all of us to make a circle of prayer in our own hearts. Hold hands in our own hearts, and name out loud what we want to pray for and who we want to pray for. This week, let's sing. Let's sing songs of praise and hope. And let's sing other songs, too, that might make us happier or give us some kind of joy. I know during these past weeks, one of my sibs texted everybody and said, you know what, at 5:30, everybody listen to We Are Family through Alexa or the internet or whatever. And that message went out across the country, and so that's what we did. We Are Family. Another one we listened to is Wild Mountain Time Together, which was a song my mom loved. However you sing this week, sing out of a sense of hope. Until returning to the altars of our churches, perhaps we can make a space in our home for an in-home altar. Find a special place, put a table, put a special cloth on it. Maybe put a Bible there or a candle or a statue of Mary or one of the saints. Maybe put a photograph or some art. And have that in-home altar be a place that calls you to connect with Jesus and with each other. The coronavirus has not canceled Holy Week. It has changed it. The victory of Jesus over sin and over physical death can never, ever be canceled. And we are changed because of it. That is the meaning of Holy Week. This Holy Week is still so very holy. Even though this year, this Holy Week is so very different.
Father, if this cup cannot pass, might I most drink of it? Let your trusted, even when I said, I am sorely afflicted. And when I said in my alarm, there is no one I can trust. How can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? The cup of salvation I will raise, and I will call on the Lord's name. My let your will be done.
You've been listening to the Cathedral Square Radio Show with Father Christopher Smith. To hear this program again or to download the podcast, go to OCCatholic.com and click Radio. Be sure to share and tell a friend as well. Have a blessed day.